Hello, everybody. This is Mark Taylor, and welcome to the really debut episode of the Code Factory Live show, I guess is what we're going to call it. We haven't really got a name to it, and we are debuting the release of Code Factory's mobile speak version, mobile geo. It's only 10 o'clock here in Los Angeles. So, it's Saturday, right? So I'm a little off base here. Mobile geo 2.5, which for those of you who don't know, who may be listening on the web down the road, it is a software GPS solution. God, it sounds fancy. GPS solution for the blind and low vision and visually impaired and people who can't see. Now, just a few. We've got to do some house cleaning. Let me get this out of the way. We're not taking any chat. I know that a lot of people on this network like to do chatting, but I have a hard time reading and talking at the same time. So for those of you who attempt to chat and you realize it's blocked, that's because of me. So if you want to participate, I would prefer that you call in. If you're listening on the web and you don't have the phone number, you can call area code, this is in the U.S. now, 724-444-7444. Okay, 724, what did I say, 444-7444. And the call ID, we'll be getting an assigned phone number at some point. But right now, if it asks you for the call ID, you're going to dial in 83353. Okay, 83353. Okay, and the Code Factory website is CodeFactory. Dot E as in Edward, S as in Sam. And again, my name is Mark, with a K, Taylor. Okay, there you go. I think that's about it. For those of you, let me just get this out of the way. For the people who are calling in, again, mute yourself. Right now, everybody's muted, so you can talk and no one can hear you except me. I mean, I can't even hear you. Nobody can hear you. But once I turn that off, please mute your own phone. You can do that with the *6. That's a toggle. So *6 will... we'll mute you and unmute you. And if you wish to speak, to move up in the queue, you can certainly do a *8. There are some other commands too, but I think that's the only ones that I can remember. All right, so I think that's done. So here's the deal. Obviously, we have a lot of new wireless devices on the market. One of the pioneers, and this is not a sales pitch, but one of the first companies to make a screen reader for mobile phones was Code Factory, and they did so with the release of Mobile Speak. And be aware that in order to use Mobile Geo 2.5, you do need, in fact, a copy of Mobile Speak. And Mobile Speak and Mobile Geo 2.5 work very well with touchscreen devices, as well as standard QWERTY keyboards. So there's a list. Obviously, I'm going to give you the same spiel. You know, go to the website for an updated list of supported devices. The phone that I use with Mobile Geo is—it's hard to believe now, but it's really kind of an outdated phone by today's standards. It's a Samsung Epix. At the time, of course, the phone cost me about $500. And now I think you can get them for $39. It's a vicious, vicious game. However, it's a fine phone. It has a touch screen and a QWERTY keyboard. And the battery life on that thing is just amazing. One thing about phones, and this is important to note, you know, the more powerful the phones become, like the new Sprint Evo, for example, you know, yeah, the phones are becoming more and more sophisticated, but battery usage, the efficiency has not gone up at the same rate as the technology has increased for the sophistication of a phone. And so you'd be hard-pressed. And this is something that I think is important for people, blind, low vision, sighted, all together is... You know, and I think the phone I'd like to have, the phone I use, I need to know that I can count on that phone for a good, 12 hours at least. By the way, just a little bit, I do tech support and stuff, so I got to put this in. No matter what kind of phone you have, and I don't care what the manufacturers say, please reboot your phone at least once a day. Just do it. I don't know, people, crack me up when they go, oh, I haven't rebooted my phone in 5 days. And I was like, yeah, but you don't get half your messages. So, you know, please, I don't care if it's an iPhone or Windows mobile phone or Symbian, any, you know, devices are devices are devices. This goes to a computer. Just reboot them every day, okay? Just once a day. It's not going to kill you. What's 5 minutes or less? Okay. So anyway, so battery life is a concern. If you're out, again, I'm going to assume for the keeping things simple, because obviously I can't come up with every scenario. But if you're assuming you're traveling independently, which is what Mobile Geo provides, and then you don't want to get caught out on a bus or a taxi or anywhere, and all of a sudden, you know, you have no power. That's just a nightmare, because while a phone may freeze and you can restart, when the battery's gone, it's gone. And most people don't want to end up carrying, you know, 7 or 8 batteries. Although, frankly, during when I was really into this, I had 2 batteries. I went out and got a desktop charger for my phone, and I bought 2 batteries. So I just swap out batteries, and sometimes I'd even take 2 batteries with me when I was traveling a much greater distance than I do these days. So Mobile Geo, then, is a software GPS solution. I will argue it is the best on the market for blind and low vision people. I think it can hold its own regardless. It is on a par, and in some ways I think even better than the Garmins and the mainstream devices. And I know of what I speak, because I own 2 Garmins, and I just got another one. I can't remember what it's called. I know I go a lot, and I apologize, but I don't have a script here, guys. So oh my God, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so the point is, I have compared Mobile Geo with the latest Garmins, and I cannot think of the other one. I can't remember. I'll open the phones up. I'm sure somebody can tell me. Anyway, the 2 mainstream devices here in the U.S., and it is just fabulous. It's really kind of neat, because when I'm in a car, for example, and I have Geo coming through my Bluetooth device in my ear, and the mainstream device is on the dashboard of the car, and they're speaking the same information at the exact same time. It's wonderful. So this is not a program that you purchase to approximate what sighted people can. This is the real deal. And I want to make this very clear. I am an absolute fan of the iPhone 3GS, and I love that phone. I will say this, and I know iPhone people won't like it, but I think I own about 10 to 12 GPS solutions on the iPhone. No fewer than 8, because I delete and add. Every time something comes out, and people go, oh, it may be accessible. And by the way, let me applaud Apple right here and now. I'm always amazed, for some reason, in our community, meaning the low vision community or visually impaired community, we tend to be extremist, and I don't know why. I'm just amazed at that. You got Windows people. I'm not going to preach, but I got to get this out, because this sets the stage for what I'm about to say. Windows people don't get the Mac people. The Mac people think the Windows people are old school. I don't understand. There's no need for division. There really isn't. The day of one size fitting all is long gone. Let's forget about that. I will tell you that on the iPhone, which is my favorite device of all times, and I'm certainly open to the Windows 7 phones that are going to be released, and Android, assuming they get their act together someday. But right now, I can't imagine life without my iPhone 3GS, because all the apps on there are just amazing. So let's just get that right out in front. When it comes to GPS navigation, however, and I won't go into the reasons why and why I think, this certainly has nothing to do with Apple's lack of respect for blind people. It's got nothing. It's just the nature of the beast, okay? At present, there's nothing on the iPhone that can even come close to the accuracy, integrity, and I mean integrity of information, of Mobile Geo. And I say that, people say, well, you know, I hear Mark is a real friend of Code Factory. This has nothing to do with me being a friend of Code Factory. I just told you that the iPhone is my favorite device. So you're getting it from a guy who's got it from both sides. The iPhone's great when I want to, if I want to get a location of the nearest restaurant. It's nice if I want to, you know, a lot of things I do on my iPhone. I mean, it's amazing what I can do on it. But when it comes to traveling, and I have gotten a lot of grief from this on prior podcasts I've done from iPhone people on the list saying blah, blah, blah. And I have said, you know, I get a lot of grief. Oh, Mark, you always do this. You say this. So he's in Code Factory's hip pocket or blah, blah, blah. My answer to all of these people is today what it had always been, which it will always be. Go out and do a podcast to prove me wrong. Because my stance is right now, there's nothing on the iPhone that can come close, okay, close to what Mobile Geo brings to the table. If anybody out listening to me or that hears me thinks I'm wrong, that's fine. You have that right to do that. But if you want to convince me or have anybody give you any credit, if you want to appear credible, don't just tell me I'm wrong. Show me. Pound for pound, inch for inch, show me where I'm wrong. And when that day comes, I may reevaluate my stance. But today, this is what the way it is. Now, having said that, let's take it another step because, you know, there's this rivalry between Apple, iPhone, and Windows Mobile. It's insane. Let me tell you what I do. First off, I'm not the kind of guy. I don't like to have one device serve every single need. You know, I know that some of you old timers like me will remember the days in the 70s when you'd buy a television and it would be a stereo also. And of course, in those days, we had 8-tracks, which is the way it should be today because I still like 8-tracks over CD, but that's another one. Okay. And I remember in many, many homes, if the TV, because remember they used tubes back then, if the TV went out, you also lost your stereo because you had to get it repaired, right? I am not a big fan, and this has nothing to do with accessibility. I am not a big fan of all-in-one scanners and printers. I don't like putting all my proverbial eggs in one basket. Okay, having said that, at present, and again, we know it's exciting. We got the new iPhones are due to be released soon. I can tell you that I have some knowledge of what's ahead of us. I can tell you that the battery life on the iPhone, certainly with the use of VoiceOver, is not good. It's not horrible, but it's not good. And I will say to you that even with my Epics, The marvelous thing about it, one of the reasons I continue to get outstanding battery life on my Epics, the Epics gets outstanding battery life, and Windows Mobile phones do really well anyway, but it's because, and I'm breathing a lot, I know I'm getting all hot and sweaty in here, and that is because you are allowed to use an external GPS, Bluetooth receiver. On the 3GS, you cannot do that. So when you engage the 3G, when you engage the GPS, the internal GPS on the 3GS, it sounds funny, doesn't it? you're already starting to compromise your battery power. So that's an important thing. Let's assume for a moment that there was something even remotely close. Now, there are people who are going to argue with me and say, well, you know, they have some solutions. There are some solutions that can certainly get you some information, but they certainly aren't good enough for me. And I'm the first one to try something new. I'll buy something on the App Store in a heartbeat just to see if it's accessible. And, you know, so let's, you know, you're not talking a closed-minded guy. I am, but not when it comes to technology. When it comes to food, of course, that's a different story. Bacon, 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 bacon. Okay. So let's think about this. So my solution is this. I love my iPhone for making phone calls and for, you know, general use. It's basically my email or anything else. But I also have the Epics, and what I've done is I have a prepaid card that I don't need one. You don't need cell service to use Mobile Geo because it uses the phone's internal GPS receiver or an external Bluetooth GPS receiver. However, just because, you know, you never know, the bomb may drop someday, and I don't want to be caught off guard. I use AT&T Wireless, but there's tons of prepaid services out there. And so the way it works is, I'm going to just thumbnail this for you. I think I put on account maybe $30. If I don't use the phone, the cell service, I don't get charged at all. But if I make one phone call or receive a call, I get billed $3. Now, that $3 is good for that entire day. Once I've made one phone call or received one phone call, I can talk unlimited anywhere in this country. I think it even includes Canada. I have to look at my plan, but anywhere. And it's just one flat fee. They have different plans out there for everybody. So understand that I don't have a contract with them. I don't need that. And obviously no one has that phone number. In fact, sometimes when I have to add money or forward my phone or whatever, I can't even remember the phone number of my Epix. And I really don't need that in there. It's just that I just like to be prepared just in case my iPhone blows up one day.
All right.
So I carry two devices. And quite frankly, the Epix is such a small device. I know when I'm out and about, I don't have to worry about battery life because I'm using the external Bluetooth receiver. I know that you know, I got my iPhone to receive phone calls and to play games or listen to everything. I could do it on my Epix, of course. But again, for me, GPS navigation, when I'm out and about, I don't want to get lost. I live in L.A. It's a big place. You do not want to end up in the wrong place. And I know this for those of you. I'm old school. You know, I remember when I grew up in Kentucky. There's no problem walking up to somebody, assuming you can find somebody, and say, excuse me, you know, can you help me with that, blah, blah, blah. But in Los Angeles, and I don't want to paint L.A. as a bad city. It's a wonderful place to live. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. But you just can't walk up to people. Quite frankly, you get in certain parts of the town and, you know, you can walk up to the wrong person. You don't know. I don't want to make it painted out to be dangerous, but there are some areas when you're in the city. You got to be careful. So if I can minimize that kind of exposure, then I choose to do so. My point is, I carry both phones. And it works out beautifully. My point is, if for those of you who, you know, if you want an iPhone or you don't want an iPhone, I don't really care if you do or don't. The point is, iPhone users, need mobile Geo 2.5 as much as Windows mobile phones and Symbian users. Okay, that's the end. I just want to get that out there so you understand where I'm coming from. Because I know there'll be some, Mark's got an iPhone, so, you know, what does he know about it? Yeah. You know, I'll say this to you also, and I'm going to just go on the record. Let's just get it out. All right? I do a lot of tech support voluntarily and involuntarily. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, if you ask a quote-unquote tech support specialist which they prefer, Windows or Mac, if they give you an answer, then they're not really, in my opinion, a very good tech support person. I believe that because the operating systems have matured so much now, virtually there's no difference. Now, for blind people, for us, it's a little bit different because we have to use screen readers. I'm talking about just in general, however. You know, because you want to get a person supporting you that is not biased towards one or the other, that will look at you. This is true for everything. This is also true for GPS solutions. I happen to love Mobile Geo 2.5. And I've owned the Trekker. I've, you know, worked with the Breeze. And it's my favorite, Mobile Geo 2.5. I'm not above. There are some people that maybe it wouldn't fit for. I don't know anybody, unless it's somebody who, you know, maybe a much, 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 a person who just doesn't want that sort of thing. And sometimes traditional travel is just fine. And Mobile Geo 2.5, if you have bad cane travel or you use a service dog and you don't do it well, Mobile Geo is not going to make your life any better. You have to have some basic skills. All right. That's enough of that. All right. I feel like I should play a ding or something. So let's get down to it. You know, the nice thing about releasing a product at the time that Code Factories chose to release this is that most people are, if they don't know the ins and outs and the technical specifications of GPS and how it works, we all kind of get an idea of what it is. I'm not going to bore you or myself by explaining that. What I will tell you is that I think Mobile Geo's greatest advantage is, and I mean this completely because this is important that I say this, and that it's not something, it will get you out and about very quickly. It's a very simple install. Code Factory has streamlined the installation, and I'll be the first to admit that 4 or 5 years ago, even installing MobileSpeak, I remember the first time I installed MobileSpeak, man, it was amazing. They have streamlined this program that, in effect, as long as you just click OK, 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 next, 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 you're in business. It will do everything for you. If you, as far as connecting a Bluetooth, GPS, external Bluetooth, that could be a challenge for some people, but only not because of Code Factory, but because of the makers of the Windows phones. If I understand my information correctly, Windows 7 phones are going to greatly standardize the procedure. And I'm really excited about that. Okay. So you get Mobile Geo on your phone, and the first thing you're going to notice, and I'm going to just, well, let's see, I'm in virtual mode. I was going to do it. I'm going to play a demo of setting a manual route in a minute. But I'm trying to give you a layout of, I believe that the worst thing people can do. Okay, let me start over. I get ahead of myself, you know. I didn't have enough bacon. Too much wheat, too many Wheaties, not enough bacon. All right. I know that when you come across a new product, sometimes people want to read the manual and kind of get a feel for what's going to happen. And that's very wise. But I also think a lot of people get intimidated with a product like Geo, because like other products in the screen reading environment, such as my beloved JAWS, Screen Access with Speech, it can do so much that trying to take it all in at once is overwhelming. It would be as if you read the entire manual on Microsoft Office 2010. Good luck. You might as well try to read the Bible from cover to cover, including the Old Testament. I guess that's what cover to cover means, huh? And, or, you know, go ahead and try to read a dictionary. It's just not going to happen. And I know, and this is not just true with Mobile Geo 2.5, but any GPS solution. It's one of those things where you just have to jump in. It really is. So, you know, do a cursory review of the manual if you want. But if you begin to read, it's, you know, it's a pyramid effect, really. A lot of the things that you do in Geo, in any GPS solution, except for the sighted ones, because, you know, everything is right on one screen. You know, you have a lot less. We don't have real estate in the sense that they do on the sighted mainstream devices. We have a very limited real estate, a small phone, and we, you know, keys are doubling as different things. It can be a little overwhelming at first. But you only need to master maybe four or five skills, and everything else will fall into place. And I think sometimes we get overwhelmed as users with a product like Geo because it's just too much. You know, virtual mode. Ooh, I can explore the city from sitting here. You know, I got news for you. Yes, you can explore the city. You can explore the country having never left the armchair of your living room. But that is not going to teach you how to use it. It's as if you take a language. I think I took 4 years of German. And at one point I could read it pretty well, I must admit. But drop me in some place in Berlin, I'd be like, huh? Excuse me? I'm sorry, are you guys from Kentucky? You know, I mean, studying something and reading about it will give you some information, but when it comes to GPS, when it comes to Mobile Geo, 2.5, I got to say 2.5, but any GPS solution, you've got to just jump in. What do I mean when I say jump in? Okay. You get the product. Even if you're going to download the 30-day trial, whatever the trial period is, and it's a good idea to do that. But what you don't want to do is what a lot of people do, is they get it and they sit on it for about 14 days. Okay? And then they say, I'm going to do it, but then, well, it's cold outside, or it rained, or I got home from work too late, or, I mean, I've heard excuses like you wouldn't believe. And if you're going to take that attitude, then you might as well just not get the product, because it'll be a waste for you. You know, I remember when people bought the Trekker years and years ago, and it was expensive. I think my first Trekker was $3,000 after taxes and all the accoutrement. And I was amazed that in about 6 months on the mailing list, people were turning these things back in. I don't use it. And they said, oh, it's not good. It's not this. It's not that. And I'm amazed at that. I'm just amazed. They never took it out. And I got to tell you something. I understand the fear. There's a certain fear of really being on your own for the first time. And I'm not going to kid you. I experience it every day. Why? Because one time I was hit by a car at no fault of my own and thrown 25 feet, where I landed 25 feet from where the skid marks of the tire track stopped in a major street in San Diego. It was not any fault of my own. I was in the right. The guy was too busy talking to his girlfriend, who, by the way, wasn't bad looking. I got to look at her later. But that's another, but I digress. But she wasn't good enough to hit me. I wasn't like that. It wasn't like Lena Horne or something. Okay. So, I mean, believe me, you can do everything right and you can still get in trouble. So, and that happened 20 years ago. And I'm telling you, there's not one time when I cross a street, certainly a big street, you know, one lane or two lanes is no biggie, but when I cross a major street, and you ever notice when you're crossing the street, sighted people probably can look and see the people staring at the windshields. But for me, when I cross the street, you hear all the engines to my right, you know, the cars, and they're just idling. And you think, if somebody would have sneezed or something and their foot slipped off the brake, I mean, you don't want to think about it too much, but I'd be lying to you, man. It's like, oh my God. Okay. So there is a certain fear of getting out there, and you don't want to make a fool of yourself. And by the way, if you've told your friends and family about this, then you feel almost under pressure to perform, right? I understand that. Because then you're thinking, well, if I get lost with this, they'll think, ooh, I'm not smart or something. And I also understand that as a content provider on the internet, I understand that we can set the bar so high for regular people. You're thinking, well, if Mark makes it look easy, right? Or Tammy, let's say Ginger, or Babette makes it look easy. If I can't do it, I must not be as smart as they are. I understand that the only one you've got to worry about is you. I can make it look easy because this is what I do. I provide content for the internet. That's my job. You know, I'm amazed when I see people coming to work on my house. They make installing a cutting out the pipes and fixing them look easy. If I tried it, I'd probably end up cutting up half the house. So you got to be reasonable on these things, okay? So when you get something, when you download the software, and you owe it to yourself to try it, you really do. Download it. And the first thing you're going to do is just power it on and go outside. Don't sit in your room. Don't sit in and think about what you can do. You need to do it. And the beautiful thing about Mobile Geo, I'm often asked, off list, off the phone, you know, why are you such a big proponent of Mobile Geo 2.5? And if those of you who follow my work know the answer already, but assuming that you don't follow my work, because I don't follow my work, so why should you? The thing about Geo that I just love Code Factory for this. They're the only ones that I know currently that I am aware of that do this as beautifully as they do. You don't have to do anything. You just start it, assuming you have a GPS signal, and you can begin walking, and you can hear the streets that you're passing. That's the first step. Absolutely amazing. You don't have to tweak anything. You don't have to turn anything on. You don't got to get to know it, love it, and hug it. Just like a sighted person. When you go to Best Buy or Fry's or wherever you buy, and you put that garment on your dashboard or you put it in your shirt pocket, boom, you turn it on, you're rolling. This is exactly what we have with Mobile Geo 2.5. Amazing. People on the iPhone and other platforms have said to me, well, you know, they want me to beta test. I love beta testing, no problem. And I've always said, you want to impress Mark Taylor? I almost said Mark. You want to impress me? When I turn it on, I want to be able to rock and roll right there. If I want to walk. This is what Geo 2.5 brings in. All right. So the first thing you're going to get, of course, download it. You owe it to yourself. Install it. You know, get your GPS up. And take it for a test spin. You won't be disappointed. That's the first thing. And once you do that, the next, it'll build from there because you'll think, hey, this is easy. It really works. And if it doesn't work for you, if you have a problem with it, then you contact somebody like me or Code Factory. We're going to make it work for you. That's what we do. All right. The new feature that I think one of the most requested features of Mobile Geo 2.5, and obviously you can do your search, you can search by intersections, you can do, you know, anything that you would ascribe to, and we'll take calls, and I know you want to ask them, but I think one of the nicest features, and I must admit, this was not my suggestion, just came from someone other than me, but I'm so thankful that Code Factory was wise enough to include this in this release, is the ability to create manual routes. And this means that you yourself can create your own route. You start wherever you want, you walk, and you can put in what we call waypoints. Okay, waypoints would be just points to say, ah, you're here. Kind of like a scavenger hunt, you know? And so I want to demonstrate that. And so I have a recording I'm going to play for you. I recorded it yesterday. And it's not too long. I think it's like 10 minutes or something. And then we'll come back and take some questions. Okay? So that's how we're going to play this out. So hold on. I'll still be talking and getting on my pulpit there and my soapbox. Hold on a second. 1 second here. You may hear a little bit of silence. That'll probably get edited out. Okay. I think I'm ready. Okay. So this will be me. Mark. Hi, Mark. Hey, Mark. And we're going to play it right now, assuming I get this right. Please let it work. Okay. Hi, everybody. This is me, Mark. I'm doing just going to do a short demo on how to use Mobile Geo to set manual routes. And I just got a friend drop me off over here, and I was going to go to a different part of the city where the streets would make more sense. Because some of these streets, I don't even know, but it doesn't really matter. Anyway, so I'm standing here in approximately a location here in Southern California. And I am going to demonstrate doing a manual route by setting some waypoints. And it's so simple. Mobile Geo makes it so easy that I'm looking forward to showing this to you. So let's get started. I'm already in Mobile Geo. Obviously, I've got it set up. I got my maps on my Epix. And I am facing, let's see, let's take a look and see which way. I just walked a certain way, so I got to get the compass. Let's just get a general idea of where I am.
Position: colon 4130 Avenida Sevilla, west at 1 miles per hour, 0 feet above sea, pedometer: colon 237 feet.
Okay, so, and I can go down the list.
Plus position colon 4,100. Plus nearest intersection colon 104 feet. Plus nearest POI colon metal can be. West at 1 miles per hour, near sea level, 5 of 11. Plus pedometer colon 237 feet. Enter. Mobile Geo dialog. Are you sure that you want to reset the pedometer? OK button. To activate. Mobile Geo window. Left soft functions. Right soft menu. Main screen. Good quality. 23 feet. Tracking 8 satellites. Plus position colon 4130 of Anita Sevilla.
Alright, so I'm going to press the function key just to get into creating a route, a manual route. This is so I can set my own waypoints.
Set positions. 1 of 8. To move to a route functions. 2 of 8.
Second item down, of course, says route functions. I'm going to select it.
Enter. Create route. 1 of 10. To move to an item, press up or down arrow.
I want to create the route. Of course, I have it set to give me help, just in case I get a little confused, which I won't, but I might.
Display route points. Unavailable. 2 of 10. Create route. 1 of 10.
So we're going to go to create route.
Enter. Create automatic route. 1 of 2. To move to an item,
choices.
Press up or down arrow.
I can choose to create an automatic route or...
Create manual route. 2 of 2.
Create
Enter.
A manual
Mobile
route.
Mobile Geo window. Left soft functions. Right soft menu. Main screen. Good creating manual route.
Now at this point, it returns me, Mobile Geo returns me back to my regular display screen, the Mobile Geo, you know, home screen, in which case I can still get my direction, headings. It looks as though nothing has changed, but in fact it has, because Geo is telling me now I'm actually creating a route. So I'm going to begin walking. And by the way, before I start walking, I'm at my starting point. In order to create your own route, you must do this in a series of what we call waypoints. And those are cues that will tell Mobile Geo where you want it to notify you to do something.
Olvia and Strada heading southeast.
Stop, start, turn left, turn right, whatever. Okay, so I'm going to create my first waypoint, which is where I'm standing.
On Avenida Sevilla heading southeast.
And I'm going to, let's see, I want to press the function. Everything starts with the function key or the left soft key. Again, you can use the touch screen if you have that on your phone.
Set positions, 1 of 8. To move to an item, press up or down arrow.
So I'm going to set position.
Enter. Set an address by city, 1 of 5. To move to an item, set an address by postal code, 2 of 5. Use GPS position, 3 of 5.
And that's what I want to use, the current GPS position, which is the 3rd of 5 choices. So I'm going to press enter on that.
Enter, as destination, 1 of 4. To move to an item, press up or down arrow.
And I'm going to go to the last option, which is, you'll hear in just a second.
As virtual positional, as user POI, 3 of, as destination, 1 of 4. As virtual positional, as manual waypoint. As virtual positional origin, as manual waypoint, 4 of 4.
There we go, as manual waypoint, and that's what I'm going to select.
Enter. Mobile Geo with new waypoint window, waypoint name, edit, type in text, left soft OK, right soft cancel.
So, I'm going to keep this simple because I haven't typed on a hardware QWERTY keyboard in quite a while. I'm going to just call this start.
S. T. A. R. T.
And I'm going to press left soft key for OK.
OK. Mobile user waypoint added.
It's telling me that the user waypoint is added. And since it's my first user waypoint, there's really no way to turn left or right. So right now we're ready to go. I'm going to start walking. I got to tell you, I'm really impressed with the ease with which Mobile Geo installs. I am currently using an external GPS Bluetooth receiver. I'm now approaching what I'm going to call my second waypoint. And I'm at a corner. Let's see where I am. Let's see, just about...
On Avenida Sevilla heading east.
So, let's see. This is where I am. Let's look at the intersection, I think.
Main screen. Good quality. 21 feet. Tracking 8 satellites. Plus position colon 4144 Avenida Sevilla. Plus motes colon GPS. Announcements enabled. 8. Plus city colon. Plus pedometer colon 1. Plus nearest POI colon. Plus nearest intersection colon via Entrada. Left. 3 of 11.
Okay, so. What I'm going to do now, of course, is I want to set a second waypoint. You may hear some cars going by. So, just like in the first waypoint, I am going to press the function key, left soft.
Set positions, 1 of 8.
I'm going to set
to
position.
To an item, press up or enter. Mobile Geo window, set an address by city, 1 of 5. To move to, set an address by post, use GPS position, 3 of 5.
I'm
enter.
Using GPS position.
1 of 4. To move to an item, press up or down arrow.
And I'm going to go down to as a manual waypoint.
As virtual position, as user POI, 3 of 4. As manual waypoint, 4 of 4. Enter, new waypoint window, waypoint name, edit, type in text, left soft OK, right soft cancel.
And again, because I'm keeping these very simple, I'm going to call this a step 2.
S. T. E. P. Step. Two.
And click OK.
OK. New waypoint window. Turn type colon. List. Left turn. 1 of 3. To change the selection, use the arrow keys. Left soft OK. Right soft cancel.
So now it's asking me the turn type. And in this case, in fact, the default is left turn. And that's what I'm going to do. I need to turn left here. So I am, in fact, going to, it's already on left point, so I'm just going to go ahead and press the function key or the left soft key for OK.
New waypoint window. Turn description colon. Edit. Type in text. Left soft OK. Right soft cancel.
It's asking me if I want to put in any kind of a description. I don't know what I might put in. Maybe there's this will be a downhill slope, an uphill slope. I don't know. A lot of poles in the middle of the sidewalk. You can put any description you want. I don't have any description for this demonstration. I'm just going to press OK.
Mobile user waypoint added.
Okay. I'm turning left. And I'm walking. Now, this, of course, is, I would call an intermediate function of the program. One nice
thing. Via Entrada, 165 feet, ahead to Via Verde, behind slight right. On Via Entrada, heading north.
And I'm still walking. Crossing some streets here. You're going to hear some loud noise of the truck going by. Actually, I don't know how much of this you'll be able to hear. Given that I have a very low quality mic in the machine. Still walking. Not a lot of wind today here in Southern California. At least not in my part of it. Can't vouch for San Diego in part south, but right now it's kind of overcast. It always makes it easier for me. I don't like it to be too hot.
On Via Entrada, 193 feet, ahead to Via North, left and right.
Okay. So I'm still walking.
Plus modes colon GPS, announcements enabled, 8 of 11. Plus nearest POI colon or data collection, 52 feet, right, 4 of 11. Plus position colon 9574 Via Entrada, 2 of 11.
See how fast I'm walking. I'm going to do a check on that.
Position colon 9,548 Via Entrada, north at 3 miles per hour, 0 feet above sea, pedometer colon 667 feet.
Still walking. I think one of the nicest features of Mobile Geo is the fact that you can set wherever your current location is as home or as work and instantly
on Via Entrada, 126 feet, ahead to Somerset Lane, ahead and Orange Avenue, left and right.
And you can tell I'm crossing a few streets as I walk until I get to my next waypoint.
Next intersection, Orange Avenue in Somerset Lane, 33 feet, slight left.
Okay, so here I am at Orange and Somerset. I'm not familiar with this part of the city. It's kind of interesting. So I think I'm okay. I think at this point I'm at Orange and Somerset. Orange is a pretty big street here. And so what I'm going to do is set this as another waypoint. Because here I'd want to turn, again, left. This will be easy. It can be all left turns, I guess. So we'll do that right now. And again, it's kind of a busy street, and you will hear the, looks like the street cleaners coming by. So a big day for ambient noise. All right, let's do this. So here we go.
Set positions, 1 of 8. To move to an item, press enter. Set an address by city, 1 of 5. To move to an item, set an address by postal code. Use GPS position. Enter as destination 1 of 4 to move as virtual as user POI 3 of 4 as manual waypoint 4 of 4. Enter new waypoint window waypoint name edit type in text left soft OK right soft cancel.
And then I'm gonna type in step 3.
S T E P step 3.
And press OK.
New waypoint window. Turn type colon. List. Left turn. 1 of 3. To change the
selection,
use the arrow keys. Left soft OK. Right soft console. New waypoint window. Turn description colon. Edit. Type in text. Left soft. Okay. Right soft console.
And I have no description that needs to be put in here, except I guess I could put the intersection if I wanted, or I could just type in orange if I wanted to, anything about it, or if I'm near school. I'm just going to press OK.
Mobile user waypoint added.
Okay, I'm turning left and I'm walking. As I said, one of my favorite features is if I'm, or maybe I was saying it or not, I can't remember.
On but Orange Avenue heading west.
On Orange Avenue heading west.
On Orange Avenue, 196 feet, slight right to Cambridge Street, behind slight right.
So let's see, let's do a check. I like even this to locate where a car is in a big parking lot. Again, a lot of times people will get out of cars in these, of course, when they're in big cities. It's so easy to lose your car. Now, let's see at my next. You don't have to wait until you get to an intersection to make a waypoint. If you know, for example, that there's some place you want to stop, if you want to stop at a certain bus stop or any number of things, a certain store or just any place. Maybe there's a park bench you like to stop by that's on the street, or they have a lot of those near parks and you just want to sit. You could do that. So. I'm going to just stop at random here in the middle of the block, say right about here, and I'm just going to make a waypoint. I'm just going to call it, we'll just call this step four. And it happens to be right in front of a, I don't know, it looks like a, looks like it goes into a park of some description. So we're going to create just another waypoint. Here we go.
Set positions, 1 of 8, to move to an, enter, set an address by city, 1 of 5. To move to, set an address, use GPS position. Enter, as destination, 1 of, as user POI, 3 of 4, as manual waypoint, 4 of 4. Enter. New waypoint window, waypoint name, edit, type in text, left, S, T, E, P, step, 4. OK. New waypoint window, turn type colon, list. Left turn, 1 of 3.
Now, in this particular situation, we don't want to turn left or right.
Okay.
So we're going
right
to use one of the other options. Not left.
Right turn, 2 of 3.
Not a right turn, but instead.
No turn, 3 of 3.
No turn. And just press OK.
OK. New waypoint window. Turn description.
No
colon.
Description.
Edit. Type in text.
I could put
left soft,
entrance
okay.
to park
right
here
soft,
or something
cancel.
If I wanted.
Mobile Geo user waypoint added.
Okay, user waypoint added. And I'm going to continue walking. If I want to see what my next intersection is going to be, I'm going to get a heads up on that right now.
Next intersection, Bloomfield Avenue and East Woodson Street, 496 feet, slight left.
Coming up on Bloomfield. I don't get over here very often. It's kind of a nice area. I'm so glad we have a lot of wind today, or a nice cool, except it's overcast. Because I hate walking with equipment and stuff out in the sun and sweating all over it. God, that's nasty. Okay, and let's see. I have a little, all my equipment's in a little bag on my, that's hanging over my shoulder. Been a bit of a bear trying to find something convenient that didn't make me look like a spaceman from Mars that would still give me the portability I wanted. Is I've gone through 5 or 6 of these bags and finally found one that I had in my closet.
Next intersection, East Woodson Street and Bloomfield Avenue, 319 feet ahead.
Still walking. In the walking. See how fast I'm walking. I think I've slowed down.
Position colon 4038 Orange Avenue, west at 2 miles per hour, 0 feet above sea, pedometer colon 0.27 miles.
Don't want to run into any trees or anything.
On Orange Avenue, 182 feet, ahead to Bloomfield Avenue, right and left and East Woodson Street, ahead.
Okay, so I'm approaching my destination. And that's about here. Now we're at the up through the corner of Orange and Bloomfield. Big intersection here.
Next intersection, East Woodson Street and Bloomfield Avenue, 78 feet ahead.
Okay, so it's kind of weird, but I am at the corner of Orange and Bloomfield. The other street it's mentioning is kind of it's a weird design. You'd have to see it. Anyway, we're at a destination, so I want to set my final waypoint because I have to know when I reach someplace, right? And this time I'm going to call this destination when I get to the naming. So here we go.
Function, set positions, 1 of 8, to enter, mobile geo window, set an address by city, 1, set an address by post, use GPS position, enter, as destination, 1 of 4, as user POI, as manual waypoint, 4 of 4, enter, new waypoint window, waypoint name, edit, type in text, left soft OK, right soft cancel.
I'm going to try and type destination here.
D, E, S, T. I N A T I O N.
I'm going to press OK.
New waypoint window. Turn type colon. List. Left turn. 1 of 3.
No turn at all.
To change the selection, use the arrow. No turn. 3 of 3. OK. New waypoint window. Turn description colon.
No description.
Edit, type in text. Left soft. Okay. Mobile G. User waypoint added.
And we're done. That's it. And since I'm done, now I'm going to just simply save the route. You got to remember to save it. So we're going to go to function.
Set positions. 1 of 8. To search. 3 of 8. Route functions. 2 of 8. Enter. Create route. 1 of 10. To move to an item, press up or down arrow. Display route points, 2 of 10. Load save route, 3 of 10. Save current route, 4 of 10.
Save enter. Current route.
Mobile geo window, save current route window. Route name colon, edit, test, type in text. Left soft OK, right soft cancel.
And I'm going to call this Bloomfield. I don't know how you spell it. I think it's
B L O O M.
God, I haven't typed in a QWERTY hardware QWERTY keyboard in ages.
F I E L D.
Okay.
Okay. Mobile geo window. Route saved.
Okay, the route is saved. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to stop the recording and I'm going to walk back to where I began and then I will start recording again and we will play the route as I go through it and we can see how it works, okay? So you won't hear the time lapse, but I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording. So here we go. I'm going to stop it. Okay, we're back. All right, so I'm back at where I started. I've reset the pedometer to 0. By the way, I did walk up and back from where I started. It was about a half a mile, so, you know, 0.52 miles, half a mile. So looks like I'm going to get my workout today, and that's never a bad thing, especially when you eat all those banana splits like I love to eat. And for those of you who want to send a care package, please include a banana split. All right. So I've got the route saved. Then we're going to load the route, which I called Bloomfield, and we're going to just let Geo take us the route, and I'll begin walking. And, of course, I'll keep you posted. So I'm in Geo. I'm at the main screen. I'm going to load the route by going to the functions menu.
Set positions, 1 of 8, to move to a route functions,
okay, route
2
functions.
Of 8. Enter, create route, 1 of 10, to move to an item. Display route points, on a load save route, 3 of 10.
Go. Load saved routes, here we go.
Enter. Load saved route window, open, list, Bloomfield, maps, 6/4, 5:24 p.m., 1.70k, mobile geo route open paren. Route close paren. Storage card, 1 of 2. To move to items, use the arrow keys.
Well, that's given me a lot of information, but the name one is, that we're listening for is the fact that it's Bloomfield. So I'm going to just press enter on that.
destination waypoint 5, destination 0.27 miles, in Mobagia window, left soft functions, right soft menu, main screen, good quality, 21 feet, tracking 7 satellites.
And of course, in order for this to work, you do have to have GPS enabled, of course, you know, I'm outside. Okay, the route is loaded, which means it's ready to go. It will give me, I can check the first waypoint. You'll see this as I move. Let's see if we can find out.
10:33 a.m., Friday, June 0. Good quality, 21 feet, tracking 7 satellites, 1 of 11. Plus position 4,124 Avenida Sevilla, 2 of 11.
Okay, so we're going to start walking. And I'm walking.
Skip 1 point along route. Next, waypoint 2, step 2,173 feet slight left. Next turn : waypoint 2, step 2, turn left, 147 feet, ahead, 1 minute. Approaching left turn, at waypoint 2, step 2 in 124 feet.
That's absolutely right. Okay, I'm here, and I'm actually going to turn left, just like I did previously. Right now, I'm going to just get general information.
Position 4,143 Avenida Sevilla, east at 2 miles per hour, 0 feet above sea, pedometer 186 feet. . 15% completed, estimated time of arrival 6 minutes. Remaining distance en route, 0.22 miles. Distance to start of route, 229 feet. Total route distance, 0.27 miles. Manual route, on Via Entrada, 137 feet, ahead to Via Verde, right.
It's kind of neat, I must admit. I just think this is a fabulous, fabulous program. There's nothing that can compare. And that's just the bottom line.
Destination : 855 feet, left, on Via Entrada, 196 feet, slight left to Via Norte, left and right, skip 1 point along route. Next, waypoint 3, step 3,292 feet slight left. Next turn : waypoint 3, step 3, turn left, 241 feet, ahead, 1 minute.
So you can see I can get all kinds of feedback information, the total distance, time of arrival for the route, and also how much the current rate of speed at which I'm walking. It will tell me approximately how long it'll take me to get to my next waypoint. Again, I challenge anyone out there to find a better, more sophisticated...
Approaching left turn at waypoint 3, step 3 in 122 feet.
More sophisticated and yet easy to use software GPS solution for the blind and low vision than Mobile Geo 2.5. I don't think it can be done.
Turn left at waypoint 3, step 3, heading west.
That's absolutely right on the money. I'm just following the route I created. Again, I'm using some commands to, again, do some checking as to where I am, which I recommend for certainly since the first time second time you've walked the route.
Next turn : waypoint 5, destination, 682 feet, slight left, 3 minutes. On Orange Avenue, 172 feet, ahead to Cambridge Street, right. Destination : 613 feet, ahead. Next turn : waypoint 5, destination, 594 feet, ahead, 3 minutes. Whoa. Continuous rate, 569 feet to destination waypoint 5, destination. Next intersection, Cambridge Street, 49 feet, slight right.
It's really quite fascinating to know all this, have all this flexibility of really getting a feel for where you are. I love it. I just do. I think it's exciting. I'm still walking. I can smell. Somebody's making a cake. Wow, it smells good. Oh, man. I wonder what's better. The smell of eating cake better when it's being made or cookie dough. God, that'd be a toss-up, wouldn't it? I don't know. If I had to choose, I'd say both. I'm still walking here, and I don't know if you can hear that car. Okay.
Next turn, colon waypoint 5, destination 110 feet, slight left, 1 minute, on Orange Avenue, 180 feet, slight left to Bloomfield Avenue, right and left on East Woodson Street, slight left. Feet left to destination waypoint 5, destination.
And it's absolutely right on the money. Now, the one thing I did notice when I walked, and it may have been because I was entering command so we didn't hear it, was waypoint 4, and which is when we walked past the park entrance, and I'm not sure about that. Okay, I'll return you back to the show now. That's all for this, this short demonstration. I hope you enjoy Geo. I'll return you back. Back to you, Mark. Hey, everybody. This is me, Mark. I'm really sorry about we had a bit of a problem today with my particular internet connection with my beloved Time Warner Cable. And I didn't think about it at the time because I've never had a problem before, but this won't happen in the future because I do have an air card which could have kicked in and would have preserved the entire environment. But again, it hadn't happened before. I've done a lot of shows, so this was the first time, and thankfully, I assure you, it will be the last. So the next time we do this, we'll be able to take your calls and stuff like that. So I apologize. There are two versions of this recording. I'm putting one up on the Candleshore blog, and there'll be a link there for those of you who subscribe. And obviously, here on TalkShoe, we will have it's the same recording, but because of the bandwidth and disk space constraints, it'll be a monophonic, I guess that's what they call it, a copy of the recording. Again, apologize for those of you. I'm glad you tuned in. We had a lot of people tuned in that was ready to talk, and I promise we will pick it up at a different time, and I'll have all the backup in place so that should it happen again, although I don't think it does. I must admit, Time Warner has been very, very good. I think in the last year, I think I've only lost internet connection twice, and in a 12-month period, that's really quite excellent. Actually, it was much more tenuous when I was dealing with DSL with AT&T. So no complaints there. These things happen, and especially when it's a debut show. Okay, so remember to make a joyful noise. This is Mark on behalf of Code Factory. And again, go to candleshoreblog.com to get the high resolution or the high fidelity copy of the program. You can also, if you subscribe to the Candle Shore podcast, it'll be there. And also, obviously, if you're listening to this, so you already have the low res or the low fidelity copy. And I'm sure Code Factory will be posting this on their website as well. Okay, take care, and I will talk to you soon, in which I promise we will be answering, taking as many questions as you have about mobile geo. And as a courtesy, if you would like to send me some mail questions that you really have and you want, by all means do so. I'm going to give you a little bit of a different email address, because I wasn't set up for this today, but I do want to entertain your questions. Those of you already who are on the same list with me, obviously, you can just send an email there. The rest of you can go and send an email to, I think I'll use Music Man today. So M-U-S-I-C-M-A-N at candleshore.com, okay? M-U-S-I-C-M-A-N at candleshore.com. All right, bye-bye.